Motion to approve the agenda.
So can I go through a few of the changes just so they're on record?
Sure.
So 7B, resolution 2025R018 will be omitted. And then we're adding 7D, Fort Road construction development agreement, and E, change order Knutson.
Okay. Motion to approve the agenda as amended.
I'll second.
What?
Oh, I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Approval of the consent agenda.
I'll make a motion that we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, old business. A, zoning district change request from R2 to R1.
So do you want, Jason? I can give you a little bit. So you have a copy of the planning and zoning minutes. The Planning and Zoning Commission is not recommending that the change be made from R2 to R1 based off of Jason's legal opinion. And Jason is going to that further.
You guys have the memo that I drafted, correct?
Yes, I do.
May 19th memo, yeah. I mean, it's that's essentially it. We have several people that submitted a petition. We have one individual that wanted to have his name taken off of the petition. If we were to rezone it, we would essentially be engaging in spot zoning at this point in time, and you simply cannot spot zone. That's patently illegal. So even if we wanted to accept this petition, we couldn't at this time. We also had two other individuals who never signed the petition that were rather vocal against it. We had one individual who, by all purposes, retained an attorney to fight it. But again, with that one individual almost right in the middle of the proposed rezoned area, he asked his name to be taken off the petition. With him off of the petition, it's spot zoning, so we can't do that. They also had the objectors also had some constitutional arguments that they were making. I really wasn't terribly concerned about those, but again, they would be issues that we would have to potentially defend against. But again, the big thing was the petition itself, and that we had three challengers to it. So I would encourage you to not go forward with the rezone and adopt the recommendation from Planning and Zoning to deny the request to rezone, and it would remain then R2 multifamily. If anybody wanted to do a planned unit development, or for that matter any real type of development, you know, we would still have building permit issues and potential conditional use permit conditions that you could put on a development.
Yeah, that's what most of those complaints were about.
Correct.
Adding a development in there anyway, it wasn't really concerning the zoning itself.
Correct. The majority of the concerns related to developments in excess of 4 units, and how are they going to get access to city services and road traffic, that sort of thing. And those really all go to, you know, the building permit itself or the conditional use permit, if a conditional use permit is needed.
Well, I'm going to make the motion again that we deny the zoning change and follow the planning and zoning recommendations.
I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Very good. Thank you.
We'll skip down to I'm sorry, where are we at here?
A.
Citizen time.
Oh,
citizen time. Anybody like to address the council?
I can start. Go ahead.
Well, if you've got, I can be patient. Dave Preissler, County Commissioner.
Mayor and Council, a couple things to update you on. Some may not seem like they directly affect Waterville, but I think in one way or another they do. So one of the things that the state legislature did, and this is actually a bill that passed, okay, so it won't get hung up in the special session, is that if you look at deer hunting here in southern Minnesota, currently we're all shotgun zone, okay? And there was legislation that was introduced to make it to where not only shotguns could be used here, but also rifles. Except that there was an option that if counties in the current shotgun zone wanted to basically write themselves out of that bill, in a way it's the other way around, will be written into the bill as opting into staying shotgun, or if we did nothing, then it would be shotgun and rifle. Okay, so counties kind of approach it differently. Just to let you know what Le Sueur County Board did is we opted to keep it at shotgun. Okay, shotgun only. It is something that can be reviewed at some other period of time down the road, so we may do that. And quite honestly, counties in this area were all over the board. Okay, so Waseca County is going to allow rifles, so is Rice. Nicollet is not, Blue Earth is not, Homestead and Dodge are not, and then we're not. So it doesn't have a ton of rhyme or reason to like population and that sort of thing. Quite honestly, we've looked at it as, and I quite honestly, I've hunted deer, I've hunted with both. We just looked at it from a safety standpoint. Rifle is going to travel further. And we've got enough homes in the countryside. And
enough flat land.
Yeah. And so we just thought, let's just leave it where it is. We did meet with a number of townships on it. So timing kind of worked out to hit some township meetings before we made a decision. And it was pretty unanimous. Okay. So that's just for your information. One other thing that we had no idea this was coming, but last Thursday, on a federal level, the Department of Homeland Security put out a list of sanctuary counties and cities, basically related to immigration. Okay? And in that list, there were 20 counties that they listed in Minnesota as being sanctuary counties, one of which was Le Sueur, which we were, quite honestly, really surprised about, because our board has never had that discussion, much less voted on it. And it took our sheriff by surprise, because he's never had any negative interactions with Homeland Security or ICE or any of that sort of thing. And so there were some inquiries into the Department of Homeland Security on Friday. Like I said, we saw this put up from a news release that hit the media later on Thursday and got no response from Homeland Security. Still, as of the end of today, got no response, except that they took over the weekend, they took the list down, okay? And so no longer on the DHS's website is a list of counties or cities that that are supposedly sanctuary counties or cities. So we're not looking to take that issue up. And like I said, we were very surprised about it, and there was zero conversation between the feds and our county beforehand.
Were there other counties right by us too that were on that list, or
Rice
or Steele or any else?
No, Rice is not.
No, Homestead is.
It was the weirdest conglomeration of counties. There was nothing north of Otter Tail. That's as far north as they went. But you had like Lincoln County, okay? Which I mean, there's hardly anyone that lives there.
Yeah.
I mean, much less, and so. It was a weird conglomeration of counties that were listed, and
how
the other thing is there was no criteria. In fact, there is no criteria, period, that's ever been established to even determine if you're a sanctuary county or city.
Was there any cities in Le Sueur County listed on there?
The only cities that were listed were Minneapolis and St. Paul.
It seemed to me that the only way that the county or a city could become a sanctuary city or county is if the city or county passes a resolution.
Perfect, yeah, right. We've never had that discussion. So if you get And there have been some articles in the newspaper about it. So if you hear of anyone, I guess I'd ask you this favor. Say, because I've got a few emails, some very few very direct emails on it, and we've done nothing.
Yeah, find out who signed us up for that.
Yeah, I know.
You know.
And so if you hear anything, the truth is we're not, and we never were. And we have no intention of going down that direction. So anyway, so that's just a separate thing. That we all looked at that and couldn't quite figure out what it was. A couple of other actions. You'll see that just west of town here on County 6, that north south road there, that construction is going to start there. I mean, we've got, you know, barricades up and so on. So shouldn't interfere with this weekend really at all. And hopefully that goes well for all of you. But again, those projects are getting rolling. And then two last things. One is that we did, at our board meeting this morning, we did vote to end our participation in what's called the Sentence to Serve program. And really what that is it's something where a judge can basically send, it's kind of like community service hours. There's a person hired that comes out and runs a crew to do that. Unfortunately, our hand was forced a little bit because the legislature defunded it. Okay. So it was one of those things that was a shared cost between counties and the state ended their share. The problem is the state runs on a different budget cycle than we use, so the state budget ends on June 30th. So for them, with them quitting, it ends June 30th. Well, our budget goes to the end of the calendar year. Okay? The person running it had rights to go and bump into a different job, and we didn't feel like, first of all, we didn't see this coming necessarily. We didn't want to hold him up from being able to get unemployment somewhere else by us trying to figure out what we were going to do with it. So we do share it with Waseca County. Their action they took today was to table it, and they're still going to try to figure out if they're going to do something or not. I wouldn't say that it's a guarantee that it never comes back. It's just we didn't have it in the budget, and we're not looking for any additional things to spend dollars on at this point. And so for right now, we won't have it continue on this year. We'll probably have a discussion about it when we look at budgeting for 2026 and see what happens from there. And I know there's a few communities that have used them to do some things, but when we started looking at having to shoulder the whole cost plus buy all the equipment, I mean, they've got a van, they've got mowers, they've got a trailer, all that stuff, it got to be a large dollar figure. So, and other than that, one last piece, and that is on still looking at flood mitigation. We are working with the federal EDA, Economic Development Authority, to do a little bit of a scale-back grant, but to use that grant to do engineering to basically create shovel-ready projects for water storage. That's one of the things that we're finding is kind of a holdup for us as we seek other funding sources to do these things, is to have what's called shovel-ready projects that can get done right away. And so it does take engineering to do that, and so that's what we're going to pursue that. So that's it for me. Kind of soup to nuts on different things, but any questions anyone has?
How far when they do 14, when they're milling over,
it'll
like 14
six.
Coming into town?
It'll go to 6.
How far into town are they coming?
Just the edge.
City limits. At least that's my understanding. I'm pretty sure, I'm 90% sure I'm right on that.
Okay. Just curious.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
See ya.
Thank you, Dave. All right. Anybody else like to address the council?
Laura Hoffman, Snapchat, Demon Porn, 115 Cottrell Street. I don't know, it's Teresa, did you get my email?
Yep, I printed it and have it up at the site.
Great, yep. Thank you.
Yep, we got it.
So I'd like to address again, you know, of course we're always looking to purchase that property if we could next to the Snapchat. But if that's not an option, we'd like to try and maybe rent it. We've talked to our insurance lady, and she said that would be no problem with her, us carrying liability for it. We'd like to cover it with, you know, it wouldn't be permanent because of rent, but it would be like sunshade, add more seating in there, and take care of the plantings in there, the hosta garden there, and the fences needing upgrading or some repair, and some stain would be nice on it. And we're perfectly willing to do that. I don't know how you guys feel about it.
What would that mean for the city's use for bands and stuff like that?
Right, and we don't have any problem with that. I mean, it can still be used for, I mean, we could rent it for 361 days of the year or something. We wouldn't have any problem with a band being in there. Of course, it benefits us too.
There's a stage in there, and there's, the park still gets used all the time, and then we bring in the stage for the band for the Chamber of Commerce and hot summer nights.
Yeah, we don't have a problem with any of that. Because it, of course.
I don't understand, like, I knew when this came up last time, I didn't want to be the guy that sells a park. And I see that park getting used all the time. People are always in there using, sitting at picnic tables and stopping by and have a seat or rest or whatever. What I don't understand, isn't it perfectly usable just the way it is? With, there's two picnic tables in there.
You want to put,
it is very hot in there. It doesn't get used during the day at all. I mean, rarely does it get used during the day. We see people at 7, that's our busy time, really, because it's so hot there that people won't sit in there with their ice cream. It melts. You know, we have people standing in the alleyway between us and El Molino's a lot to get out of the sun. And a lot of times we bring out our pop-up tent and put it out over that patio on the weekends.
I think you should look at the positive side here is be improving it, covering costs of mulch, weed treatments, repair, staining the fence, and renting it and putting putting shade up there. I don't see how that hurts us.
We still have the chamber using that, and we still have a lot of people using that, and I don't know that.
Could that be in the agreement, though, that?
I don't see how it would be one bit different. I mean, do you want to put up shade? Do you want to put up a tent there and take it back down, leave it there?
I'd like to put up sunshades.
What does that mean?
It's a shade that's wind goes through, but it offers shade also.
More of a permanent type? Is that what you're... I guess...
In the winter, I wouldn't want
to... Well, no, but I meant...
Then we're... Right back in that spot where we set up the stage in there and used in that space, same space.
Right.
So it's higher, and then...
Right. Well, the shade could be put up high enough to accommodate that, or taken down when the band is there.
This is designated as a park, right?
Correct.
And what does the park board say about this?
I would have to go back. I think we'd have to check with them again, I think they addressed it before. I'd have to check. But I did want to do a little reminder too that this is citizens' time, so it's time for her to present an idea for you. If you wish to have further discussion on it, we can add it to the next agenda, and then you could do, because you can't do formal action of any kind during the citizens' time.
Yeah. Thank you.
I guess I'd like an idea of what, you know, like for the sunshade, is it attaching to the neighboring building, or is it freestanding? I guess that's my question.
Well, depending on what Madden's would say, we could attach it to their building and our building.
What were you thinking, Dave? Is that where you were going?
Yeah, if we have to put in some kind of post to hold it on that side, you know, you might have to cement a post in there of some sort. I would be willing to talk about that comes up if that's what we need to do.
The big thing is that we would have to approve anything like that. But I can tell you that there are many people that want shade when you don't have shade and stuff, especially on older people.
Yeah.
Would you have the same result if you made a donation to the city and the park for that area, which was some type of shade offering of some type of shade for that? And then would that end up being the same result for you?
It would, I guess. The grass in there needs to be sprayed. There's a lot of weeds in it. I mean, we always mow it when we mow our grass. And weeding in there, and it needs mulch. And this fence could use stain. It's got moss growing on it. I just don't see the harm in this. Like, I see it as a benefit to the city. Like, we're willing to put the work in, and it obviously helps us, but we're not excluding anybody. Anybody can sit in there. Anybody can have a party in there. We just like it to look nice right next to us, and we do a lot of weeding and mowing in there anyways. So I guess I can leave it at that. You guys can talk about it if you want to.
Yeah, sure.
I don't think it would hurt the city. I mean, that's what we're looking to improve all we can in this town.
Thank you.
And then I have a second thing.
Okay.
The parking on Third Street. I'm not sure what the regulations are for the apartments that are already on Third Street. I don't know if they're... I know they're supposed to provide parking for their tenants. Is there any way to get them to park in their area? Every day it's the same 3 to 5 cars parked outside on the street in front of us. And then they're also... like in front of Emerald and Elm, they complain about those cars that are parked there. They're people that live upstairs. And we're just wondering what's going to happen when those apartments are done and they're all parked on the street and then there's no room for business parking. And I don't know what the regulations are. I'm kind of wondering.
Okay, thank you.
So let's put that on agenda item two for discussion, right?
Yes.
You don't want us to discuss it now. So.
Yeah. Thank you, Laura.
Okay, would anybody else like to address the council? Would anybody else like to address the council? All right. I think we can move on. Number 7, new business. A resolution 2025R-017, accepting bids for North Shore Drive improvement.
Jason got that one?
Yep,
yeah, sure. Jason got that.
Yep. So we opened up bids on Thursday here at City Hall for the North Shore Drive. It's a reclaim and repave of that we've been looking at for the past number of years. We received 4 bids. From that, the lowest bidder was Crane Creek Asphalt in an amount of $95,780.00. We did put in this a bid alternate to look at what the price difference may be. So they're going to be out there reclaiming this material and having to take out some of that before we put the pavement in. Whether they keep the material or Alan gets the material. The price was a wash. They had the same price for either or. So we didn't know. Sometimes each contractor, you know, there's some value in that. Again, they have to move that. I don't know how much value there is. So we just put that out there for an option. So it's the same price. So we're going to elect, or it's a recommendation to you guys to accept the alternate that allows that material to stay the City of Waterville's material. So, since that is the same...
Do we have to haul it, or do they...
No, they'll haul it.
I like that.
To wherever we request.
To where we requested, yep.
And do we know how many yards it's going to be?
I do not. Okay. Nothing offhand.
Okay.
I could estimate it.
No, that's...
Yeah, it's... I mean, since when they grind it up, it's, you know, there's these compaction factors. It's some technical things. I don't really need to get into it, but... Long and short of it, we're going to keep the material that he can use for their patching and things like that. So, yeah, with that, very competitive bids for that, and it came in right there around the engineer's estimate. It was 94,000. This one's about just over 95. So,
when they mill it off, do they take it all the way to the base, or do they just take off?
Nope, they grind the top asphalt and a little bit of the aggregate, not all the way down to the base. So we're just working in the aggregate and bituminous zone. So we're not bringing that all the way down, so we don't expose clay and intermix clay into it. It's just the rocks and the aggregate itself. So, yeah, if there's any questions, otherwise I'd recommend approving the contract to Crane Creek Asphalt.
And this was to put basically a base layer and a wear layer on there?
Yep.
So it'd be like a normal street then?
A normal street.
Versus a driveway.
So, I mean, usually, or other times, we've done some overlays and utilizing the existing. This provides that uniform surface where we're not going to see the reflective cracking. Every time you do an overlay, you know, you'll see those cracks come through. Still a structurally sound road, you're just getting the cracks. This one is going to be a nice new mat.
What do they do, like a 3-2 or...?
Two and an inch and a half and two.
Oh, okay.
Yep, inch and a half of wear, 2 inches of non-wear, and then the aggregate underneath it. So essentially building it to a residential section.
Okay.
Yep.
And Teresa, it looked like we've got, this was in budget.
Yep, so I gave you a breakdown of the projects that we've done so far and the budgets. We would just be moving a few of the line items probably around. So we had 140,000 in improvements, steel coating 15, infrastructure repairs 25, with the improvements that we have along with North Shore Drive was 165,000. And then we have 181 budgeted.
Okay. I'm going to make a motion we approve the resolution 2025R-017 accepting the bid for Crane Creek Asphalt with the alternate allowing us to keep the material milled off.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Jason.
Yep, you're welcome.
Okay, moving down to C. The request for dust control. Sue here? Did she want to address us?
No, she had something else come up. She's not going to be able to make it. What I furnished for you is how much we spent last year for one application. It was a $3,369.60, and then the streets that were dust coated. So I would need to know if council wants us to go out and get quotes for that. What you're thinking, if you're wanting to do the dust coating or not.
Was it Al's recommendation on this to do it?
Al didn't give a recommendation one way or the other.
Okay.
Man, we normally do this.
We need to go out for quotes then for this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we would have to get a quote for it. I just furnished the information based off of last year. Yep. So you knew approximate cost if you were looking at it.
It's one of those things we've always done. But again, if we're looking at ways to cut, it's certainly something that could be cut. You'd want to look at how many people does it affect and that kind of thing. Is it, I know, do most people think it works? Is it a good deal, you know?
And I'm new to all this, but and I'm sure this question gets asked every year, but is there a way to pass this expense on to just the residents on the streets that need the dust control?
You could do a special assessment, a consent special assessment.
It's a very good question.
Because I know with Cedar Circle, we've talked about paving that, of course, but they did not want to pay, you know, for that. So.
Correct.
Well, we could get some advice from the city shop over there on if any of these are needed worse than others, and depending what the road surface is over there. Some of the road surfaces are less likely to respond well to dust coating if it's...
Yeah. I have no trouble doing it because we've always done it. It's just a matter, again, if we want to look at... If we are looking at trying to, you know, cut some expenses.
Sure.
So we still have to have a quote for it anyway.
Yeah.
Whether we do it or not.
I make a motion that we go out and obtain quotes for the existing list of streets broken down as we've done in the past and bring it back to us in July. With an approval for Al, from Al, or advice from Al, sorry.
I would like to hear from Al.
Yeah. Advice from Al.
Yep.
I'll second that if you made the motion.
I did, yes. Sorry, did I not voice that?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
And that was the one motion. Sorry.
Okay, D, Fort Road Construction and Stone LLC Development Agreement. Teresa, do you have information for this? Or?
Jason does.
Essentially, what I have drafted for your consideration here tonight is a development agreement between the City of Waterville and Fort Road Construction and Stone LLC, which is owned by Tim Nitus. He's the guy doing the construction just across the street here from us. He applied for some grant, actually the city applied for some grant funding through the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency. We were awarded some grant funds, and Fork Road Construction has applied to us for an allocation of those funds. And what this development agreement does is it essentially gives Fork Road Construction the ability to access those grant funds that are coming through the city. Basically, the city's just acting as a fiscal agent. And we would then pass those funds on to Fort Road Construction for their development. They would be entitled to do draws in the increments that I've set forward on page two. For instance, there's one third of the allotment would be provided to the developer upon acquisition of the property that has already occurred. He can request another third as per construction is progressing. He would be entitled to that third. And then a final third would be paid out upon closeout of the project, which is essentially when he would receive a certificate of habitability from the city. That is the agreement.
So the first third he would be able to draw like now?
Correct, because he's already acquired the property.
Yeah.
And which property is this again?
Right. Sorry. Over here, he's going to add the other four.
Just
plus.
Across the street.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Correct. Correct. So yes, he's entitled essentially to at least to the first one third allotment. Teresa, do we know how much is allotted?
I think it was around $100,000. I don't.
Okay, because we'll need to fill that blank in.
Yeah.
That's why on page one there's a blank. We won't have the exact amount.
So can we make the motion with that blank?
Yes. Go ahead and give Mayor Conlin and Teresa authority to enter into this development agreement with that minor change.
Okay. Well, then I would make a motion that we allow Mayor and Teresa to go into this agreement with that blank being filled in when they know the number.
I second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. I'll let him know.
Okay, moving on to E, change order Knutson Construction Management Contract added.
So this is just the change from going from the bidding stages into the oversight. So they would be adding the rest of their contract onto the original agreement.
I'd make a motion that we approve the change order request from Knutson Construction.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. All right. 8 reports. Jason, do you have a report for us?
Got nothing for you.
Wow.
Yeah.
What about, how's the tree thing going?
It's going. It's going. It's in court.
Okay, we'll move on to Jason Femrate, engineer's report.
So the bids are out for the pickleball, so you should have those numbers at the next meeting to review and award. And then working on the fire hall, construction, staking, things like that, and helping out with any questions that come up. So, and then we had the award tonight for the street project. So,
when is it? Pickleball ones be open?
This coming, before the next meeting.
Okay. So we keep asking at the Lions Club meeting when they're going to start it, because we've been waiting and waiting and waiting.
Yeah, it's been a longer process, but they are out now.
Okay.
Is there going to be a lot of fill removed from that area? Because we currently have a spot that needs fill in town.
There will be some, yep. And we understand where that is, and that's part of the project.
Awesome.
Yep.
All right.
Got a lot of construction going here.
Yes.
Moving right along.
Yeah, good stuff.
Thank you.
Yep.
See administrator's report.
So, been visiting with Jason on North Shore Drive, street by user, or just kind of clearing up some of the work that needs to be done, so that we have deeded ownership, if I'm stating that correctly.
Yes.
So we'll continue to work towards that. Also, we went through the bond rating call, and we were rated at an A-minus bond rating. So the bonding pricing will be going out tomorrow, so we'll know what interest rates and everything are going to be coming from that.
Good news, though.
Yeah. That's a lower A, though? Is that what you said?
So we were an A rated, and we went down to an A minus for this particular issue. One of the things that they cited was because of the floods that we recently had, and the unknown future funding, so to speak, of the federal government with recapturing costs related to that. That was one of the factors that they had talked about as being part of that downgrade. So they did make comments that it was a lower risk because of the management that we do of the funds and the council's involvement and so on, of watching budgets and so on. So the management as a whole actually kept us up higher. So
does that make the interest rates go higher too, because we're a minus instead of an A?
It could possibly, yeah.
Could.
And they anticipated that, because this is a lease revenue bond, and there's a little more risk involved for the investors versus a revenue bond.
Okay.
So the factors that they used for the downgrade were basically, you know, that risk of a lease revenue to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I have.
Thank you. All right. Any council discussion?
Yeah, I've got a couple things. It kind of depends, I guess, on what we want to do as a group here, but we have a lot of places that are not mowing their lawns. Got a lot of weeds around. There's some sidewalks that definitely need repair. So we want to know kind of where we want to go with that. And I don't know, is there a timetable again for mowing lawns? How I know we have an ordinance, how high it's supposed to be, but and I feel for people if they can't do it, but again, I wish they would call City Hall. We've got lots of services around that could help people, but we got a lot of places that are looking pretty unkempt and high grass. Unfortunately, a lot of them I have to look at every day.
I've had people stop by the shop and comment about my neighbor isn't mowing there. I think
I got it.
You could offer to mow it, I said, and that wasn't received well.
I got a couple. I got a couple of couple of calls for the day.
Should we put out a note inside the next water bill that reminds people of what the city ordinance is for that? Should we start there?
Yeah, there's a cost associated with that.
Yeah, as I say, art comes on a card on how you do that. I don't know when the next city mailing is going out.
You can probably do a small publication in the newspaper as a reminder.
Our ordinance is what, 12 inches?
I thought it was 6.
I think it was 6.
I think it's less than that.
Yeah, okay. I'm pretty sure it's 6.
But I know there's several around town that are 12 plus.
I just say I had one that was 24 here.
Okay. And there has been contacts made on some properties.
Sure. I think some have taken more than advantage of No Mow May.
Yeah. But I gotta realize that too, I guess. But
we're into June now.
Yeah, the May is over.
Well, this should be the week with bullhead days to get it all cleaned up.
I guess I do believe there's some people that just think that they can do what they want because it's their property, and they don't think that it's covered by an ordinance.
Normally, these are done by complaint.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then they get a letter, and they get some time to mow.
We have the officers drive around and make notes if they wanted, but that's a lot of work.
Yeah. Well, there's one, I don't know if... I'll talk to you later.
If a complaint came into City Hall from a resident about another property, then how would the city handle it normally?
So when I get a complaint, I contact the PD. The PD goes out, takes pictures. Sometimes they'll make contact with the individual while they're doing that.
Sure.
And then they just go back and check later. They tell them they're going to mow in a couple days, and they'll go back and check again. If it's not being done, then they'll come back to me, and that's when we'll start that paper trail.
Okay.
So I think some people think that the minute they make a complaint that it has to be mowed, or that the city's going to come in and mow that right away. But there's a process that has to happen before that, and they're not real aware of that. You know, that person has that right. If they don't, to come in front of the council, have a hearing, then we order it to be cut. Usually we do it so that it's the remainder of the growing season. But there is a process before the city can enter in and onto the property and actually cut the lawn.
It actually becomes an abatement type
situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Correct.
So there's an abatement hearing and everything else that goes with it.
Would there be an approximate expense for that of... I mean, if the city came in and mowed it?
We have a fee established for that, and it is on the high side.
So $500? $300? $450?
Melinda says $450.
I trust Melinda. $450?
It is high.
Yeah, it is high, and we set it high to act as a deterrent.
Yeah. I would say at 100, I just can't do it.
Yeah, right. I say we have several.
Not so much.
Yeah. Several mowing companies out there that would do it for less than that. Yes.
Yeah.
If they would just ask them. Yeah.
That's per time too. It's not per season.
Sure.
Right. Well, maybe on the first round that the PD goes out on complaints, they could leave some literature out there for them. Yeah. By the way,
this is what it's going to cost if we come.
Yeah. Probably only have to do a couple of those and it would get people's attention.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they do in Lee Center, but boy, those lawns are mowed all the time.
Yeah, it's a topic of discussion there quite a bit.
They take that serious up there.
They do.
But it looks nice.
Seat. The Legion as well. The Legion takes it pretty serious.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, and then how about sidewalks individually? Is that too? Or there was a time when we went and did a sidewalk survey and everybody did theirs. I know I got mine done during that time because I had some issues. And but right now, if we see something, I can send you pictures and stuff. But
sure.
There's a couple other hazards. I mean,
yeah,
because I almost fell down the other day just walking on.
Well, ours really broke up out here. That we need to
take care of that.
Take care of, yeah. Yeah.
Yes, we definitely have to do it. Yeah, that's the first thing I hear is, well, the city's got to take care of theirs, so we got to make sure that we do that. Yeah.
And that might be something that we direct Alan to go out and.
Yeah, so Alan is the one that's charged to do the sidewalk inspections.
Alan,
what they did before is they went through and walked them all and had to say what the issues were with them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sidewalks end up there, the property owner's responsibility.
They're the property owner's responsibility, yeah. At one time we had talked about doing a sidewalk district.
Yeah.
So you would just basically put budget money into that sidewalk district, and then when maintenance needs to be done, you just order it to be done and use those funds. And then the individual property owner wouldn't be footing that bill.
Where does the money come for this sidewalk district? Is that spread out throughout the whole, some kind
it's,
of a tax?
Yeah, but it's part of your, it's part of your levy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we had talked about that years back, and we had just did some sidewalk improvements probably 4 years, 5 years before that.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of question about, well, how do you make that change?
Yeah, and they're one of the issues we have, and it's not just Waterville, but the sidewalks kind of no rhyme or reason. There's spots where there's a block where there's no sidewalk. And then the next block has got sidewalk. Mm-hmm. And I've always thought that was unfair, but I mean, that's the way it is. And I guess you got to know that when you buy the house or have it, that if you have sidewalk there, you got to take care of it. But, mm-hmm. And I know we've had a few people over the years request, can we get our sidewalk removed or
right.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, then, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right. You guys got anything else for council discussion?
I had a young lady stop by my shop this week, and or last week, and just wanted to congratulate us on our dog park.
Fence war? Where the fire department's going.
Fenced in. With the high fence, they put in the fence up. She was bound and determined. That was our new city dog park. I had to inform her that that was going to be the new fire hall, and she was quite upset because she said, I didn't vote for that. I wanted a dog park.
Okay. Well, we can move on here if you guys are ready.
Yep.
All right. Number 10 is a closed session pursuant to Minnesota Statute 13D.05 sub.2B. And 13D.05 and sub 3B.
Make a motion that we close the normal council meeting to a closed session
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
And do we need a motion to start the closed session?
That's what that was.
Okay.